Hello and welcome. My name is Declan. I'm a librarian with Kilkenny County Council Library Service and I'm based in the Local Studies Department. Today we're going to look at a very topical subject, the whole area of pandemics and the Spanish flu in Kilkenny. Epidemics and pandemics has long been a feature of world history. Indeed, Friar John Glynn's account of the plague or Black Death in Kilkenny in the Middle Ages is one of the earliest accounts of its kind. Flu or influenza is caused by a variety of closely related viruses that constantly evolve and mutate. What marks out the pandemic of 1918 was its global impact. There is no consensus on the origin of the virus. China, the USA and various parts of Europe have been put forward. Initially, combatant countries in the First World War tried to suppress reports of disease as the war effort was prioritised. In Europe, Spain, as a neutral country, had a freer press, and King Alfonso had contracted the virus in spring 1918, so it was widely reported there. Offended by the names the Spanish flu or the Spanish lady in Spain, the influenza it was referred to as the Naples soldier, the name of the popular Spanish song of the day. Unfortunately, it was too late and the name stuck as the Spanish flu. Although Spain was a neutral country during World War I, the disease spread rampantly through the battlefields of Europe and was to cause more casualties in the war-torn countries than any bombs or bullets. The first reported case in Ireland was in May of 1918 on the USS Dixie off Cove in Cork. The disease spread through the ports originally in a mild form, but had developed into a more virulent and lethal illness by the autumn. Mortality was particularly high among young adults, especially young soldiers and conscripts, as well as pregnant women. The widespread disruption of war, large-scale enforced movements of people, especially soldiers, and widespread malnutrition, undernourishment and stress led to a perfect storm of infection and mortality. National government responses were often weak and confused. Local communities and government structures often had to cope as best as they could. By October 1918, the disease was spreading rapidly in Kilkenny. On Tuesday afternoon, the 22nd of October, a special meeting of the School Attendance Committee was called in City Hall in High Street. This meeting was to discuss the immediate closure of schools within the city. With dwindling attendance and faculty members ill, the effects of Spanish flu had taken hold. Some doubt was cast as whether the lack of all student attendance was completely down to the flu. The matter was referred to the medical officers of health, Dr. Stevenson and Dr. Mitchell, who recommended that city schools close for 14 days. The Spanish flu, which was reported as spreading at an alarming rate within the past week and caused numerous deaths wherever it has reached, in particular young people, seem to be the most vulnerable. The symptoms of the Spanish flu consisted of a sore throat, headache, fever and a darkening of the skin. The report states not a city in the city remained unaffected. In many homes, only one or two members of the family remained untouched. The threat of the influenza developing pneumonia was commonplace. The Board of Guardians, who oversaw the city workhouse and hospital, were forced to act. Alderman John Slater, the mayor, doubled the amount of outdoor relief that was to be made available by the Board of Guardians to the poor of the city, from the 1st of November to the 1st of January 1919. He stated that a scarcity of provisions and a scarcity of money would make life extremely difficult for the poor of the city. Dr. Mitchell wrote to the Board of Guardians begging that the relieving officer be empowered to apply some extra medical assistance, and both he and Dr. Stevenson were being overwhelmed by the pandemic. Dr. J.J. Brennan was subsequently hired to assist them treat the flu cases. Further medical staff were hired and the workhouse hospital prohibited visiting of patients. The Kilkenny people of October 1918 offered the following advice, some copied from the Daily Mail. People who are really well all the time are not likely to catch influenza. No one should go long enough without a meal to make them feel faint. Plenty of sleep is a wonderful preservative from all infections, and it is therefore prudent to go to bed early. Influenza gets in through the nose and mouth. Therefore, says the medical correspondent of the Daily Mail, keep the mouth closed and frequently disinfect the nostrils. This can be done by washing them night and morning with boric acid solution. A chemist will supply the solutions in the proper strength. Several times during the day, one should inhale from a piece of cotton wool or through an inhaler a few drops of eucalyptus or peppermint essence. The feet especially should be kept dry and warm and the body clothed warmly, enough to prevent any chilling. If one gets home wet or chilled, a glass of hot lemonade or warm bath should be taken immediately. It is advisable too to disinfect the amount occasionally, and quinine should be taken for this purpose in the form of a pill dissolved in the mouth. 1 or 2 grains 3 times a day is sufficient, except under medical advice. Pneumonia has always been a dangerous accompaniment of influenza, but is more than usually common in the present epidemic. For this reason, even a mild attack of influenza should be regarded seriously. There is only one thing to do when attacked: go to bed. A person who follows this advice will probably be well in 2 or 3 days, while anyone who goes about their work or amusement as usual is likely to have a 10-day attack and run the great risk of getting fatal pneumonia. It was also widely advised that public transport should be avoided as much as possible, and when necessary, the vehicle should be well ventilated. By November 1919, over a year after its arrival, local pharmacies in Kilkenny were promoting their cures for flu. A popular preparation was pine cold cure made from pine resin. You could buy the 1 shilling and 3 pennies at Keane's drugstores in High Street. In addition, they sold a range of other products like eucalyptus lozenges and J's flu, familiar to people today. In the USA, the new drug aspirin was widely prescribed, often unfortunately at what we would now know would be seen as toxic levels, leading to hemorrhaging and death. These then would be ascribed to the flu. To finish up our talk, the following report to Kilkenny people of October 26, 1918 gives some idea of the terror and anguish that the flu was causing in the city. The mysterious epidemic described as Spanish flu and commonly referred to as the flu is once more rampant throughout the county. It has spread to an alarming extent within the past week and caused numerous deaths wherever it has reached. The number of victims in Kilkenny, especially among young people, is very high, and there is scarcely family in the city that has escaped its ravages. In some streets there are but 1 or 2 members of families left untouched, and in many cases that attack has developed into pneumonia. There are several instances of people suddenly collapsing in the streets on their way to and from work. The county and workhouse infirmary are crowded with patients suffering from the disease. Early in the week, the Christian Brothers School, James Street, was compelled to close as the majority of the brothers and pupils were confined to bed with influenza. And the concerts to be held last night and tonight near the schools had to be postponed for the same reason. Several of the brothers of St. Patrick's School are also suffering. On Wednesday, all the schools in the city were closed under recommendation of the mayor and corporation, who advised by the medical officers of health in the city that it would help to lessen the danger of infection. Fortunately, there have been few deaths in the city up to the present attributable to the disease, but we understand there are a very large number of people in a very dangerous condition. Dr. R. Griffin, who was attending patients up to Tuesday night, was prostrated on Wednesday. Dr. J.J. Brennan was also confined to bed for a couple of days. He has, however, recovered with the other doctors this evening and has his hands full attending to patients.